2 Samuel chapter 7. The title of this chapter is God's Covenant with David. That's the title we've given it. Last week I begun something a little bit different. I'm going to continue it today. We talked last week about four facts that I'll give to the church, or in my lesson, I guess, four facts concerning this chapter. Instead of running through it, I guess you say detail by detail, we're just going to present four facts. That way I can get them out, get them to you, and not be rushed for time at the end. And if you like more information, if you get online, we do have our Bible study notes online, and you'd be able to go there and download them or print them and study a little more detail for yourself. But this morning, 2 Samuel chapter 7, let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee." This morning, we're going to notice, I believe, we're going to see God's covenant with David, and that's important. But we're also going to see that David was unable to do what he desired to do, but continued anyway. Have you ever been unable to do something that you really wanted to do? Maybe the Lord prevented you from doing it. Maybe a situation just did not allow it. Maybe the door didn't open up. You know, it's important for us to continue to walk by faith and live for God. We're going to see that David had a desire to do something for God, but God said, no, that's not yours. I have it planned for somebody else. And we're going to see how David reacted. My four facts I'll give to you. The first one I want you to notice this morning is David's attitude. David's attitude. Secondly, we're going to look at David's answer. Now, that's his answer from God. David's acceptance of God's direction. And then finally, David's action. So we're going to get into this. David's attitude. You know, we find here at the very beginning of chapter 7 that David had a desire to do more for the Lord. A desire to do more for the Lord. David loved God. David served the Lord. And I think David just, he wanted to do everything he could for the Lord. And you know, that's honorable. That's good, really, is what that is. And David looked to serve, is what he did. The Bible tells us that he had a time of peace. It tells us that at the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 7, it says, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies." He had a time of peace. He was blessed with peace. Now, let's not take peace for granted. I tell you what, I thank God that we live in a nation that's not, there's a lot of difficulties right now in our country. We're not a perfect country by any stretch of the imagination. But thank the Lord, there's no war. I mean, as far as right now on our ground, you know, we're not waking up to, you know, hearing shells going off around us. Praise the Lord for that. That's a blessing. Let's be thankful for the peace that we have. You know, you travel the world today and many do not have that peace. Many are living in either war zones or difficult times. And so let's just be thankful for that. David was given a time of rest, a time of peace. You know, I think the Lord knows when we need to rest. He knows when we need to slow down. He knows when we need some peace. And David was provided that. As far as this book, he had already successfully united the nation. They were no longer split. They were together. He had chased the Philistines out of the land. God had really blessed him. He had taken Jerusalem and established it as the new capital. So David was active as a king, and now he was given a little bit of time of peace. Now, you know, when some people have time to rest, that's all they do is rest. Now, there's nothing wrong with resting. We need to rest. But after a while, you know, I guess with David, we're not told how long it was he had to rest. But it came to a point where he began to consider God and think on the things of the Lord. You know, a few thoughts on this. First, David was not idle or lazy in his time of peace. You know, the Bible actually teaches against that. We find that in Proverbs, that we're not to be slothful. One example we're given is to go to the ant and learn from the ant, who always is active and working. You know, it's interesting. You look at ants. You know, they have that line. They get going to get food. And if you break that line, you know what they do? They don't quit and go home, watch TV, you know, read a book and pack it in. They try to find a way around you, try to make a new line so they can go get that food. They're active. You know, as believers, we should be active. Yes, there may be times we need to rest a little bit. There may be times we need to draw away, you know, for health reasons maybe, or just to take a break But let's not just quit. Let's continue serving God and find things to do. Now, that's the key. David wanted to do more for the Lord. How many of you want to do more for the Lord this morning? I do. I'm not satisfied with what I've done, and I want to do more for God. David wanted to do more for the Lord. David, now in our picture up here this morning, this is what David wanted. Now, he didn't live to see this. Now, this is a model here in Jerusalem of what the city looked like during Christ's time. So this is not the temple that even Solomon built. But that's, to give you an idea, this is what David's desire. He wanted to see a building for the Ark of the Covenant, a place where God could be worshipped centrally there in Jerusalem. And that was his desire. He wanted to see this put up. And he just wanted to do more for the Lord. Now, notice the reason why he wanted to do more for the Lord. It's because he had a house, and the Ark of the Covenant was sitting outside in a tent. That's what bothered him. He had this brand new building. The Bible says it was a building of cedar. It was a palace, is what most people believed. Beautiful house. And the Ark of the Covenant was sitting out there in tents. I've often wondered, when David was thinking on this, what was happening as far as, maybe it was raining out, maybe it was a cold day. And David began to think, wow, here I am inside. I've been blessed. And the Ark of the Covenant sitting out there in this tent. And so he had a good desire to do something for God. You know, what's interesting is if you compare him. Now, he was a king. You go to Daniel chapter 2, or 4, excuse me, and you find Nebuchadnezzar. He also was a king. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar did when he had a time of rest? He walked above on his building, began to look around the city, and began to boast about what he had done. I have done this, I have done that, look how great I am. And what happened? God humbled him. David, on the other hand, when he had a time of rest, began to see, what else can I do for God? How else can God use me? So this morning, let's learn from that. Let's be humble and see how God can use us in other ways and in other areas. And that's what we find with David. So he used his time wisely. He didn't become idle. He looked to serve the Lord. Secondly, he looked to good counsel. He looked to Nathan, is what he did. The Bible tells us in verse 2, it says, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar. The ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. David evidently conversed with Nathan. Apparently they were friends. Or if nothing else, David sought his counsel. Now as far as Nathan, we don't have a whole lot on him from the Bible, but I'll give to you what I was able to find. We know he was a prophet, God's prophet. Obviously he loved the Lord, he served the Lord, was faithful to God. And I tell you what, when you look at Nathan, he not only delivered messages during good times, but he was the same man later that would go to David and confront David with sin. He also delivered the difficult messages. You see, that's a man of God, willing to deliver any message that God has for the people. I think the nation was blessed with Nathan. They had a prophet, a man that God had raised up to speak to the people. Now, Nathan, evidently, and David were friends. This morning, choose your friends wisely. And I know we have children in here, and we teach our children, be careful who you hang around with. As adults, we need to do the same thing. Choose your friends wisely. Pay attention to who you seek counsel from. You see, David here, I tell you, his friend was a man of God, someone who loved the Lord and served God, and that's who he sought counsel from. That's who he went to and said, here's my desire. Here's my plan. What do you think? And that's what he did. And Nathan gave his answer. Notice it says there in verse 3, it says, Nathan said to the king, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. So Nathan here, after hearing David, and I imagine, I can see him just sitting down talking about this, and David may have went into detail and said, here's what I want to do. I'd love to build this and do that and do this. And Nathan's listening. And at the end, Nathan looks and thinks about it some and says, you know what? Go do it. Go serve the Lord. Now, here's some thoughts on this. First, Nathan, this was his advice. This wasn't a message from God. Nathan didn't, you know, he was just hearing out the king. And here's a few thoughts. First, David's ideas were not contrary to Scripture. What I mean by that, he was doing nothing immoral or nothing illegal. Secondly, Nathan here encouraged David to serve the Lord. This morning, here's a thought for you. How about we encourage people to serve the Lord? You know, if we're not careful, we can discourage people from serving the Lord. We can discourage with our words. We can discourage with our actions. Let's encourage people to read their Bible, to serve in the Lord, to get involved in church, to join church, to be faithful. Let's encourage people to serve the Lord. That's what Nathan did with David. There was nothing wrong that he could see. nothing contrary to God's word. So he encouraged David to go and do it. Do it all that's within your heart and be faithful unto God. So this was good advice based on Nathan's knowledge of God's word. Nothing there, I guess you'd say, was wrong or immoral. Now, here's what happened next. God stepped in. You see, the Lord was paying attention. He heard that conversation. And as we go forward, you'll notice the Lord wasn't upset at either one of these men. The Lord was just going to direct them. You know, this morning, that can happen with us as well. You know, we may have some good ideas, some good intentions. They're not wrong, according to Scripture. But the Lord may say, no, that's not what I want you to do. And He may put a roadblock in front of you, or may hinder you, or stop you, and direct you in a different way. Or may even remove the ability for you to do what you wanted to do, because He's got a different plan for your life. That's what happened here with David. Now we look at, notice, we're in 2 Samuel 7, and verse 4 says, "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men," he says, "that are in the earth." We're going to stop there at this time, and I want to give you some thoughts. I want you to notice next David's answer. Now, when I say David's answer, I'm not talking about his answer to God. The answer he received from God is the way I'm trying to, I guess, I get this point across. It was a no. You know, nobody likes to see the big red X, you know, and, you know, take our tests. You don't want to see red ink all over your paper, and X, and wrong, and this, and that. You know, when we're told no, we feel rejected. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we may feel inadequate, that, hey, how come I can't do that? David was stopped. He was told no. God said, tell him not to do this. Now, I want to give you thoughts on this. The Lord prevented David from moving forward. David wanted to go. There was nothing wrong with it. David planned to go. Nathan, the prophet of God, said, hey, it sounds good. Go forward. And the Bible tells us that night, before construction could begin, before David could head off and really start going, that the Lord sent a message to Nathan. You know, I think it's interesting that he sent this message to Nathan. First, can you think of Nathan? He gets this message from God, and he has to say, oh, okay, now I got to go back to David and tell him I was wrong. You know, it's never fun to give advice and then to go back to somebody and say, you know what, that was bad advice. Now, I don't think it was necessarily bad advice. Nathan gave the advice that he thought sounded good. But God delivered this message to Nathan so he could go back to David. Now, I'm not going to get into Nathan too much, but that shows a lot of character of Nathan to deliver this message, to go back to David and say, hey, no, God says no. I said yes. I agreed with you, but God says no. This is God's plan, and you got to follow God's word. And so Nathan, the Bible tells us, went to David and delivered this message. Now, this message was clear when you look at it. It prevented David from going forward. Now, first, I want you to consider the situation as far as Israel. Nowhere, and God kind of makes this clear here when you find it here, he says in verse 6, "Whereas have I not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle." You see, the Lord, up until this point, from the time that Moses had been given the instructions for the tabernacle, until this point, through the lives of the judges, through Saul, the first king, all the way up to this point, the Lord had dwelt there in the tabernacle as far as His presence with the people. And nowhere do you find where the Lord commissioned any man to build a house for Him. Nowhere did the Lord say, I want you to do this, I want a temple, I want a building. And that's what the Lord begins with first. You see, He tells David, He said, I never gave that rule, or I guess that authority or that direction to any man. So I guess first, you know what the Lord did first when you look at this? He made it clear to David that the men before him did not mess up. You know, sometimes we get an idea and we think, well, the people of the past, they were wrong because they didn't use this idea. Maybe they had that idea, but maybe they didn't realize it wouldn't work. That happens sometimes. You know, just because we think of it doesn't mean that it's correct. You see, the men of the past, I imagine David came to the understanding that, hey, all those men were correct. They didn't build this for the Lord, and it was fine. Because the Lord didn't direct him, didn't command him to do this. And so that's what we find first. Notice he says there, at the end of verse 7, he says, whom I commanded to feed my people, Israel, saying, why build ye not me a house of cedar? Then verse 8, now therefore so thou shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, the following of the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. So to begin with, the Lord made it clear he didn't want a building. He never commissioned it, never asked for it. By the way, I want to throw this in there. The Lord is not as impressed with everything we can do as much as we are impressed with everything we can do. What I mean by that is today churches have fallen into the, mistake of thinking that if they build a big elaborate building, then they're impressing God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a nice building. I think we should do our best. But if we're not careful, we can pour so much money into our building that we forget to use that money for missions, for outreach, for things of God's work. And we begin to beautify our buildings. God's not impressed with that. God wasn't interested in a house of cedar. He was fine with that tent, having to meet with the people out there. So I think, first off, that's something we need to consider. Now, secondly, David was prevented. But secondly, he was provided a reason and provided, I guess you'd say, a promise, a covenant is what this is about. He was given a covenant. First, he was reminded of the Lord's blessings. You know, David was reminded that, guess what? You're here on this throne because I put you here on the throne. That's what the Lord told him. The Lord took him out of the field and the Lord put him on the throne. David didn't earn any of that. David was faithful and God blessed. By the way, everything you have today is from God. Your house, your home. Some say, well, I worked for it. Well, how about the ability to work? How about the ability to think and reason? That's from God. God has given you those abilities and God's allowed you to have them. And some say, well, I have these skills. Well, God gave you the ability to have those skills. You may have the ability to think through math equations or you know, maybe skills with your hands as far as building things or making things. But God has blessed you with those gifts and those talents. And so everything we have is from God. Let's be grateful and let's be humble, remembering that God has given it to us. See, that's what David was reminded, that hey, he was king now, but he was once a shepherd. He was once the youngest shepherd, the one way out in the field that nobody thought to get. When it came time to choose a king, they didn't think it was David. They thought it was one of the other brothers. And then David finally came in and God said, that's my man. You see, David was way out there. God was the one who lifted him up. And David was reminded of these blessings. David was reminded how good God was and how God had blessed him. And then the Lord began to talk a little bit about the future. And that's where we see the promises here. It says in verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place for their own and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. Beginning in this verse here is what some people refer to as the Davidic covenant, the promise given to David. You know, in our last Sunday school series, we talked about Abraham, and Abraham was given some promises. Some covenants were made with him. Here we find the covenant or the promise made to David. And you'll notice it concerns some of the same things that Abraham was given, only it was a little bit more detailed. First, we find here he's talking about the people. He says, I will appoint a place for my people of Israel and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own. I believe that's referring to land. I believe that's referring to a place that's for his people. He was going to give them a place that was theirs, a nation, so to speak. Now, you go back to Genesis. We're not going to turn there, but you find that promise given to Abraham of the land. Now, Abraham didn't live to see the borders extended. He didn't even live to see the people really take the land. That was for later. You know, Joshua led the people into the land. The judges, things went back and forth, good and bad, but they led the people there while they were in the land. Now, David was given a little bit more detail. God was going to plant them here. In other words, they weren't going to move. They weren't going to leave. God was going to keep them there. And God was going to bless them there in the land. And we find that in verse 10. He says, and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Now, here's the Lord's, some thoughts concerning the Lord and David here. The Lord planned to appoint a place for Israel so they could settle. The Lord planned to protect Israel from their enemies. So they wouldn't be harassed any longer. They wouldn't have that hardships. Talking about peace, being able to live in peace, not have to live with a difficult time. Also, the Lord said that he planned to build David a house. I don't think that's referring to a physical house. Remember, David already had that house. That's where he was sitting, and that's what concerned him. He had a house, and there was no building for the Ark of the Covenant. So God says, I'm going to build you a house. I personally believe that's referring to his family, his dynasty, so to speak. Basically, God was referring to Solomon, that Solomon would take the throne. Keep in mind, Saul was told opposite. He sinned against God, rebelled, and God told him he would take the throne from his family. Now God is telling David, I'm going to keep it in your family. It's yours. I'm going to bless you with this. This is going to build you a house. Now, when you think about this, and I'm going to give you some thoughts here, Solomon was the one who would build the temple. That's his son. It wouldn't be David. Solomon would receive that, and we find that here mentioned. It says, verse 12, and when thy days be fulfilled, that's talking about his life, when his life comes to an end, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Verse 13, he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, he says, forever here. Now, in this passage, we have a lot of promises given, and because of time's sake, we can't go into each one in detail, but I'm going to try to give you just enough where you get the understanding, and if you want to study a little bit more, you can, and encourage you to, if you want to read the Bible notes we have online, it goes a little bit more detail on some of this. But basically, the Lord promised David, as far as his home and his family, that his son would be the one who would build the temple, who would build the home for the Lord. Here's some thoughts on this. Solomon would be in a better position, because by the time David, you notice, I think it's neat, he says, when your days are fulfilled. By the way, when God wants us home, we're going home. You know, I want to encourage you, if you're saved here this morning, don't worry about death. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, your eternity secure, be faithful, serve God. When it's time to go and when your days are fulfilled, God's going to say, come on up. Now, believe me, it's not going to happen any sooner or any later. God's going to pull you up when it's time, when he's ready for you. David was told when his days were fulfilled, and then Solomon would be blessed. Solomon would take the throne, he would be the king, and he would be the one to build the house. Now, by the time David would be finished, the nation would be established, resources would be there. We also know Solomon was filled with wisdom. God would bless him. Solomon was the man that God planned to build the temple. Now, as far as some other promises here, I do believe that some of these promises refer to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the reason why is, notice, he told him that his house would be established forever, is what he says there. He says, verse 13, at the end, as I will establish the throne of his kingdom, he says, forever, I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. Now, I believe that's probably referring to Solomon still, not chastening the Lord. Solomon made mistakes, and he did suffer. He was chastened. Verse 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And then verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Basically, I believe David was given a promise of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ to come. He was told that his house, his throne, his nation would be established forever. Now, the only way anything can be established forever is through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I do believe a lot of this was pointing to Jesus Christ, that a Messiah would come. Now, this morning, I'm going to give you some verses if you're interested. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 talks about Jesus Christ coming from the line of David. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 32, same thing. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 talk about Jesus Christ fulfilling the promise given to David to be the in David's line to sit on the throne. And some would say, well, what happened? You know what happened? The Jews rejected their king is what happened. They came. John the Baptist, the forerunner, came preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. Jesus Christ came preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. Now, they didn't fool God, but you know what the Jews did? They didn't want the king. They didn't want that Jesus as their king at that time. Rejected him. Like I said, God was not fooled. God understood what was going to take place. Jesus Christ died for sin, and now today, salvation is for all. But he is King of Kings, and he will come back. He'll establish his throne in Israel, and there he will set up his throne, and he'll be King of Kings, and he'll rule. And it'll be the Davidic throne. What I mean by that is it'll fulfill this covenant completely because he's from the line of David. You see, nothing was done by accident. This was promised from David. And just so you know, I do believe David understood this. You read many of his Psalms, he's talking about a future Messiah. I believe he understood from the promise God gave him. Also, Jeremiah, we find in Jeremiah chapter 23 and Isaiah chapter 9, both those men referred back to this promise given to David. They also understood it was given for a Messiah, someone to come to establish the kingdom of Israel. And so Jesus Christ will return. It may be sooner than we think. I wouldn't mind if he returned. I wouldn't mind if the rapture happened today. I don't know about you, but I'd love to see our Lord and Savior this morning. So it may be sooner than we think. The way things are happening, who knows? But he will return. He'll set up his kingdom and he will return. Now, the Lord prevented David. He provided the reason, I guess, and he prevented David from going forward. Some quick thoughts on this, and we'll go to our next thought real quick, is David had good intentions, I believe, and he had proper motive. But you know, sometimes good intentions and proper motive are not what God is looking for. God, if his word has given us commands, we're to line up with the word of God. And that's what David did. Also, I think David was prevented because of his future fights. He wasn't done fighting. He couldn't build the temple because he had battles to fight still, as we'll see as we go through the rest of this book. Also, he was a man of war, bloody. And 1 Chronicles 22, 7 and 8 refers to that, that he was a man of war. And you know, the temple wasn't going to be a military conquest. It wasn't going to be set up to stand as a military achievement. It was going to stand as a place to worship God. And so God had a plan, and David was just not part of that as far as that was concerned. You know, this morning, I'll say this, here's some practical thought for this. Do you realize not all are called to the same service? Not all are equipped and prepared to serve God in the same way. Some are prevented because of their actions. That happens. Some are prevented from serving God because of sin that they have committed and have put them in a situation where they can't serve God, perhaps in a certain way. Also, some are prevented maybe because of health. You know, maybe a lot of things you'd like to do, you just can no longer do it. Not that you don't have proper motive or desire, it's just you're just unable to do what you used to do. Now, this morning, here's what I want you to notice. David, though he was unable to serve God in that manner, was still able to serve God the way God wanted him to serve. Just because we cannot serve necessarily the way we want to does not mean we can't serve at all. And that's where David, we're going to see, I believe, he followed the Lord. Now, here's our third thought, David's acceptance. David accepted. Now, when I mean his acceptance of God's will. David accepted God's will. Bible tells us that he immediately, notice it says in verse 12, I'm in wrong chapter here, in verse 18, then went King David in, sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" You know, when David was told no, he went and talked to God. You know, I've seen some adults who are told no, and they act like children. I've seen that. Seen adults, of course we expect it with children because they're young and immature. But I've seen adults not get their way and they stomp out. They're angry. They're mad. They won't talk to you for months, years sometimes. They're just upset, bitter. David was told no. He didn't stomp out angry. He didn't throw a big fit there because he didn't get his way. He went and talked to God. Next time you're told no, talk to God about the problem. That's what David did. Went and talked to the Lord. Took his concern to the Lord, and he accepted the situation that God had prevented him from serving in this manner. And so that's what the Bible tells us. He went to God. First he says, "Who am I, O Lord God?" In other words, he understood his situation. He was humble. He approached God with respect. Now this is a king, a great leader. You know, this is also opposite of what many, I call them self-esteem preachers, preach today. They want you to believe that you're something before God. You know what we are? Before God, we're sinners. And if you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace because of Jesus Christ. That's what we are. And David understood his situation. He was humble before the Lord. Secondly, you look at this. He says, "What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" In other words, God, you have blessed me in a great way. And David understood he didn't deserve that. He wasn't worthy of being blessed. And then in verses 20 and 21, he recognized the Lord's greatness. And I want to focus on verse 22 through 24. He says there, Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what, he says, and what one nation in the earth is like the people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel, he says, to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become, he says, their God. First, David was grateful. He was grateful that God had blessed the nation, that God had redeemed the people and brought them out, that God would consider him to be king of that nation, is what David was grateful for, that God would work through him. You know, what we find in this passage is a man who adored the Lord, man who loved the Lord. You know, if you love God and God says no, you're not going to have any problem with it. You're going to adore God, love God, and serve the Lord. You know, the Lord is great. He's above anybody else. There's no equal to him. And that's what David understood. And the Bible tells us he even reflected a little bit on God's grace. God didn't have to redeem Israel out of Egypt. God did it by grace. If you're saved here this morning, you're saved by grace, not by works, but by grace. And God has saved you. And so we find that in this passage here. You know, David really accepted the Lord's message. And I believe because of that, he was content. He was content with doing what God had given him to do. You notice in this prayer, in verse 25, what he says there. He says, and now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said. I don't think this was as like a request as much as it was a statement of David accepting what God had said. He in prayer, he's saying, please do it, God. He's accepted his position and the direction the Lord had for him. You know, when you think about this, David submitted his will to God so that God could lead his life. He asked for it to be done, really, for God's glory. Now, I want to encourage you in your prayer life to have a prayer life like that. Don't have a prayer life where you just take selfish wants to God, but a prayer life where we're asking things to be done in God's glory, to magnify him. You know, a lot of times we're not careful. Our prayers can just be nothing but just wants and wishes going to God, just throwing them up there. Instead of asking God to work in our life on his behalf, for his glory, for his honor. Yeah, that's what David did here. He wanted things to work out for God's glory. You know, he trusted the Lord is what it came down to. He trusted the Lord put him in the correct place, that the Lord had the correct work for him, and so he was just going to follow the Lord. He was content. Now, it's difficult to be content if you're not happy with where God has placed you. If you don't believe God is working in your life, then that'll produce discontent. You see, people that are discontent have a problem, I believe, with their faith in God. They're not trusting that God can work and that God can work in his time and that God has put him where he wants him. They're discontent. They're upset. They don't like the fact that they're right where they are, or that things are happening the way they're happening, or they're not happening as fast as they want them to happen. That's discontentment. That's just not being satisfied with the direction God has placed. You see, David was content. He was willing to wait on the Lord. And the Bible tells us that he began to prepare for the building, or that he would prepare for the building of the temple. And that's my final thought I'll give to you tonight, or this morning, we'll wrap this up. I'm going to give you four thoughts real quick on David's actions. David's actions. And we're going to turn to a few passages to see this. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. And we're going to look at these real quick. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5, it says, and David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. To me, this is one of the greatest passages concerning David and his life and his reign as king. David was told by God, no, that's not for you, but this is for you. And you know what David did? David said, okay, since that's for me, I'm going to do all I can and do it the best for the Lord. And that's what he did. Bible tells us that, I mean, here, he in his heart, he gave himself into the work of preparing for the temple. Now, you think about this. That's not the glorious work. Solomon would have that. Solomon would have the fame, I mean, for many years it was called Solomon's Temple. But when you look back at it, David is the one who pretty much financed it and prepared it and even planned it. But Solomon received the credit for it because during his life it was built under his direction. David, though, that was fine for him. God had given him a job to do, and he was going to do it. And he gave himself to it. This morning, I want to just give you some thoughts on that. God, he's given us all the command to take the gospel out. To take it down the street, to our family, to our neighbors. Now, there are some that are called to be pastors. Some that are called to be missionaries. Some that are called to be evangelists. And they go out, and they do God's work perhaps in a foreign country or in another field or another area. But the work here is no different than the work there. And the work here is no less important than the work over there. If God has called you to be a witness at your work site, those souls are as valuable as any soul in this world. Be faithful to God and work where God has placed you. Do the work that God has for you. And here David gave as much as he could. He gave himself to it. I want to encourage you to give everything you could to God, to just give your effort into doing the Lord's work. Now, it was difficult. We're in 1 Chronicles 22. Notice verse 14. He says in verse 14, "Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou may add to it." So David gave himself. He gave much, is my second thought. He gave much. In other words, David wasn't stingy with his giving. He gave as much as he could. You know what we find? We're going to look at this in the next few weeks. That when he conquered nations, he took the spoil and he didn't add it to his house. He put it aside for God's house is what he did. David wasn't seeking to become wealthy. David was seeking to do God's work. I tell you this morning, it takes money to do God's work. You realize it costs missionaries money to get to purchase tickets, to go overseas, to live, and to do God's work. That's why we give to missions. Not because we want to just give to feel good. We give to help them further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some of you give sacrificially. I know you do. You could use that money in different areas. You could take that money and buy something else and praise the Lord that you have determined in your heart to help out, to play a part in some way, to give and so that missionaries can go overseas. And I thank the Lord that we support missionaries. Keep them in your prayers. Pray the Lord will bless them. And it's not just with finances. How about with time? That's another thing. You know, sometimes we can keep all our time to ourselves, not dedicate our time to serving God and getting involved, whether it's reading the Bible, praying, witnessing, or just serving in church. David gave much, as much as he could. And also, as we've read there, he gave, though it was difficult. Giving will never be easy. It won't. It's sacrifice. Giving money, giving time, giving energy, giving effort. It's never going to be easy. There's always something else you can do with it. If it comes to finances, there's always something else you can buy. With time, there's always somewhere else you can go. So it requires sacrifice to do God's work. David sacrificed. He gave time to this, and it mentions how it was difficult at times for him to work, but he continued to do it. Also, David challenged others to do so. 1 Chronicles 29, and we're going to wrap it up with this. 1 Chronicles 29, David challenged others to get involved. In verse 5, 1 Chronicles 29, and he says there in verse 5, he says, For the gold, for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? And then it goes on to talk about the fathers in verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers, princes of the tribes of Israel, captains of the thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the kings of work, offered willingly. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter, but you read through, you'll find David challenged people not only to give money, to finance it, but also to give their time, their effort, and their skills to build that house. To a house that he wouldn't build, that someone else would build later. God had called him for this purpose, and he was going to be faithful. This morning, encourage you to be faithful unto God. Do the Lord's work. You know, David was the one who planned the building. He's the one who gave Solomon the blueprints and said, "Here it is." Solomon just followed through what was already done. You know, by the time David was finished as far as his reign as king. Yes, I believe he did a lot for the nation as far as enlarging the borders. But a lot of that was due to the fact or his desire to provide surplus for the building. You see, in this chapter, we find a man who was told, no, you can't do this, but you can do this. And you know what we find? Instead of fussing, complaining, becoming bitter because God says, no, you can't do that, he gave all of his effort into doing what he could do. Now, that's a testimony. That's what that is. And this morning, that attitude should be found in our churches today. It should be found here at Central Baptist Church. It should be found in all of our church members. To be faithful where God has placed us. To do the work that God has given for us to do. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, assistant pastor, whether you're cutting the grass, whether you're cleaning the bathrooms, whether you're helping VBS, whatever it is, if God has given you a position to serve or a place where you can get involved, do it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. I also am of the opinion that there is no work in serving the Lord that is small or minor. This morning we need a clean building to come to. I want to thank all those that clean this church and take the time to come down and clean the building. We need a clean building to come to. Praise the Lord for that. You see, everything is important when it comes to serving God. And whatever you do for the Lord, do it to your all. Now, David here, his attitude, I believe, should be a challenge to us. Because some people will not work if they won't get their way. They won't. They don't get their way, they're going to, what's that phrase, take the ball and go home. I used to have friends that do that. They didn't get their way, they're going to take the ball and ruin the game for everybody else and go home. That's how some people are. They don't get their way. They're not going to serve at all. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. They're just not going to serve. Not David. Faithful. I want to challenge you to be faithful and serve where the Lord has blessed you. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Next week, we're going to look at David as far as God blessing him. We're going to see him actively go out and begin to enlarge the nation so it can be a time of peace. And so that way, the building could be built by his son Solomon. So praise the Lord for those that work. And praise the Lord for those